Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're talking about shattering loneliness. So stay tuned.
Hey everyone, welcome back to New Every Day. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're talking about shattering loneliness. And as soon as you suggested that title for our discussion, Jen, I was like, yes. Because everyone, whether they admit it or not, I think has experienced loneliness at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, that's been true for myself. Even, like, I was just in New York City.
Right.
One of the busiest cities in the world.
Okay. Yes, it is. I've been there.
Let me just say, I don't think I'm a city girl. I just want to throw that out there. But despite all the busyness and the comings and goings and the flashing lights and, like, crazy stuff, I saw how you could still feel so alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because people aren't necessarily engaging with you. You can be in that city with millions of people and not be connected to anyone.
Yes.
And I was there as a tourist, right? So I didn't really have any connections apart from the people I traveled with. But yeah, loneliness, I think, is ubiquitous.
Yes. Ooh, good word.
Did you like that?
I liked that word, ubiquitous. And it's interesting because being single and being single for all of my life, except for, you know, the few random boyfriends that showed up, I have become quite okay with being alone.
Mm.
But I'm starting to learn that there's a difference between being alone, as in not with someone, but being alone. Because we've had this conversation quite a few times,
yeah.
The difference between being an extrovert and when you're around people, you feel filled up. Versus an introvert, you get filled up when you're by yourself. So I tend to be an introvert, being filled up by myself. My energy just fills back up when I have 15 or 20 minutes by myself.
Good to go.
Good to go. And so I was having this conversation with my mom after probably my sister passed away, and she would say, "But I'm lonely," and I'm like, Mom, like, I have been alone my entire life. Like, I don't understand what you're talking about. You just get used to it, right?
Yes.
And I realized that the difference between my being alone as an individual and her feeling lonely is because she had experienced sharing life together with someone. She had been married to my dad, so it must have been after my dad passed away. But we didn't talk about it till later. They had been married for 42 years.
It's a long time.
It's a long time,
a long time
to be married to someone. And so when he passed away, there was this sense of loneliness. Like, what do I do
yes.
with myself?
Because the
now?
Other person, you make your identity as part with that other person in
yes.
a way, right?
Yes, because, you know, in the evening, they would have supper together and then they would, you know, play Scrabble together, and Mom would always make my dad a cup of tea every night at 10 o'clock. Like, that's just for 42 years.
Yeah.
Cup of tea, 10 o'clock. Like, that's just...
And to suddenly not have that, there would be that void there for sure.
Right. And yet, we have also... I understand the concept that you can also be alone in marriage. So even though
yes.
you're married to someone, you can feel alone.
Yes.
So it's really got me thinking a lot about this concept of aloneness.
Yeah.
And the things that people seek after in order to fill yeah. that loneliness.
Yeah. And I wonder, Jen, and I don't know what you think about this, but is the drive to fill that void intrinsic or extrinsic? Because I think that there's a lot of cultural and social pressures for example, to be with someone to be married. And yes, marriage is a good thing. God said family is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Yay. But I can't tell you how many times people will be like, oh my goodness, Carrie, I haven't seen you in so long. Why aren't you married?
Like, it's a phobia.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
what is wrong with you? So I think that there's cultural pressures to try and fill the void, or like people identify you as like, okay, you're alone.
Yes.
Right? Oh my gosh, you're away from your family. You must be lonely. How are you filling your time? So maybe, Jen, like, speak to some, like, you've had a lot of conversations with people on all walks of life. Like, what are some of the ways that people try and fill that void?
That's a great question. That's a great question. I think some of the ways people fill that void is they get into bad relationships. They think they're good because they're giving to this person, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm able to help you here, and I'm able to help you here, and I'm able to help. So it's this giving, giving, giving. So they feel this need of accomplishment.
Sure.
And that they're needed, and their life is now worthwhile because they're giving themselves to someone else.
Yeah, you're investing. It feels purposeful.
Yes, but after a while of the giving, 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 it's like, oh, I don't feel like this is going anywhere. I don't feel like I'm actually fulfilled, right? Because they are only feeling fulfilled when they are giving.
Mm-hmm.
And often when we give and it's not reciprocated, then we can start to feel taken advantage of, like taken for granted. And so we know of people who, some of them will say, well, I didn't think anyone else would come along. So
I chose to marry. Yes, I've had girlfriends say that.
And it's just so sad.
And it's not healthy.
No, because they feel like this is my last chance.
Yes.
Nobody else. There's nobody else. And it's like...
Yeah. And, you know, on the other side, too, I've run into people where it's just obvious they are in the rat race. Like, they're trying to climb the business ladder and feel accomplished and purposeful and made whole by... you know, their paycheck or by, the sense of accomplishment or their standing within a company or how many possessions they've accumulated. And I think people know that that's kind of superficial.
Yeah.
But people run after it.
But at what point do they realize that it's superficial? I think that's part of, like, so often we hear of people who have run after this, whatever it is, the diploma, or the scholarship, or the promotion, or the recognition from their boss, and then they get it, and they're like, okay.
Now what?
Yes.
And then you're looking for the next thing.
Right.
And then depression sneaks in.
Yes, right. Because it's like, will I find anything? Will I ever get to that point where I'm satisfied with that, with where I am in life? And I think, so you have, like, finding your sense of fulfillment and ease of loneliness in other people, or ease of loneliness in our accomplishments.
Yeah.
But I think we can also find our loneliness with ourselves. I'm fine. I'm good enough. I don't need anyone else, because as soon as I reach out to someone else, then they're going to hurt me.
Mm.
They're going to take advantage of me. I don't need anyone else. And this whole concept,
like, self-reliance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a big thing in the world is do whatever it makes you feel happy.
Yes. But it doesn't lead to it doesn't lead to feeling more fulfilled or connected with other people.
No, it does not. It actually becomes very, well, self-serving and empty. Because if you ever, like, the coolest thing happened the other night. Carrie came home from her trip to New York City, and in my mind, I'm like, well, she's going to need lunch tomorrow, and she's going to need breakfast, and she's going to need a meal. So I just text her, and I said, would you like this, and would you like this? And I'm realizing inside of myself, I have no other agenda right now except to make sure she's okay, to make sure she's okay.
Which is so great.
And in my head, I'm like, why are you doing this? I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this, except for I know Carrie needs something to eat tomorrow. And it was in that moment where I was like, that's a God thing.
Yeah.
That, because so often we do things for other people for what we can get in return. And it was this selfless moment.
Put her there.
And I was
fed, she was selfless.
I was like, wow, God, this is what it feels like to do something that's in a genuinely selfless, for no other motivation except your care for someone else. Like, I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm going to feel good, or I'm going to get to eat this. Or I was just like, no, like, she needs this. And I realized at that point that completeness or peace comes from when we act towards one another in a genuinely unselfish but kind and loving way. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that doesn't happen a whole lot. Like, it was this, like, wow, that was a really cool moment.
Yeah.
Because so often we do things for other people to sort of meet one of our own needs. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about, you know, shattering loneliness, there's those three things that people often do. They often get into bad relationships or any kind of relationships, because maybe they're not bad, but usually they're self-serving. To fill that void, I feel complete now. Or climbing the corporate ladder, or just filling their life with stuff. If I get enough figurines, it'll be good. Or if I, you know, go bird watching and check off all the birds that I've seen, I'll be fulfilled, right? If I see all 50 states, I'll be fulfilled. because there's always another goal. There's always another goal. Or the last one is myself. If I can just make myself happy,
then
I won't feel alone.
Yes.
I'll feel like I have purpose.
Yeah.
So
I think I guess ultimately it's a self-serving reason. And I've even thought this too, Jen, to be honest. It's like, well, if I'm not in a relationship, like, I'm no one's most important person. Hmm. And, like, there's no one who really knows me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, who can really bear witness to my life? But then I looked at that statement, I'm like, that's about me. It's about me wanting to be known. It's about me wanting to have someone say, you're the most important person to me.
Yep. And so on that note, we'll be back right after these messages. So stay tuned.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost. For just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
there.
If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for staying with us. We just want to say thank you to our partners who helped make the show possible. And thank you to Robbie Ferguson and the team from Category 5 who literally make this show possible.
Yes.
So thanks to our partners. If you go to our website, neweveryday.tv, click on our partners page and you can see all of the wonderful organizations, companies, and sponsors who help, again, make this happen. Very grateful.
Yes, we are.
And thank you to you for faithfully tuning in. And if this is your first time watching, we're so glad. Jen and I are friends. We sit down here every week and just have a conversation about life, whatever's going on, and about God and how He is real in our lives and how He has transformed our life and given us meaning and purpose and ultimately shattered loneliness. But let's go back to that conversation, Jen.
Shattering loneliness. And what's interesting is you talked about that whole idea of looking for that right someone, someone to complete
who's going
to
bear witness to my life and really know me.
And really know me.
Like a soulmate.
Soulmate. And which is so interesting because the question is, where did that whole concept of soulmate come from?
Yeah.
Because kids, I've been a youth pastor for many, many years, and the kids would always be like, so how do I know that I found the right one?
The soulmate.
The right one. And often, I've just learned to say, you choose to make it the right one. Like, you choose out of, because you are going to be unselfish in a relationship, you can actually make any relationship work. Like, that's why arranged marriages, the majority of arranged marriages work, because they've chosen to make them work.
Yeah.
And so this concept of soul, finding your soulmate, that one that completes me, who knows everything about me. And it's funny, because after, I've had conversations with people who have sat down, like after one date, and I know. This is the right person. Now, they have ended up getting married, and it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
But okay. So that kind of, like, connection happens where they just know. They just know that this is the right person, and sometimes it takes a while.
So where'd it come from?
Well, as far as I can figure, it's Plato who came up with this idea. He basically came up with an idea that the Zeus split... basically desire that there would be more humans to worship him. And so he splits. Now, this is the story that Plato was coming up with. And
this is not real life.
I am not an expert on Plato
or Greek mythology.
But Plato wrote the story basically saying that they split a human in half, creating male and female. So, number one, there would be more humans to worship Zeus. And so these men and women would look all over the world to find literally their complete person, right?
Their soulmate.
Their soulmate. So that's where the idea comes from Plato, which is very interesting.
Hmm.
Anyhow, but what's interesting about that, so that's that lingo, that language plays into our heart because we're so like, I need to find my soulmate, that person that completes me. And as I got thinking about this, all I could think about was the person that truly could ever complete us is Jesus Christ. Because at the fall, it says that we were separated from God, and ever since then, we have been longing to be reunited with God. Like, there's this God-shaped hole in our heart, and until we come face-to-face with our need for Him, we will never truly feel complete. And that's why you can be in the most wonderful relationship and wake up one day and just go, something is still missing from my life.
Yeah.
Because you will never be complete in just a person-to-person relationship. Yeah. We have been created with a God space in our heart that because of sin, we have been separated from God. And sin basically is just choosing to do what we want instead of what God wants. And we need to come to this realization of, until I stop choosing my own way, and focus on God, learn about God, desire God, I will always have this longing and desire for something more.
Hmm.
Because one of the coolest verses that I keep repeating to myself, it says, my God will meet all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we yes. often attribute that, that's Philippians 4:19, we often attribute that to like my material needs.
Yes.
I'll have a nice home, I'll have nice clothes.
I won't be hungry.
I won't be hungry.
Yeah.
But we never think, I won't be lonely.
Yes. He meets our emotional needs.
Yeah. He fills that hole in our heart. And what's interesting is there's this language, especially in the New Testament, that talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And often when we are lonely, we feel empty. Yes. There's an emptiness. There's a longing. And yet... Jesus says to the woman at the well in John 4, He says, you know, you drink of this water and you're going to be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I give will never be thirsty again. There's this idea that we will not have need or longing for anything other than what Jesus has to give. And I'm thinking, that shatters loneliness. That idea that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, that James 4:8, can you read that for us? I love this passage. And what's interesting is what comes before it talks about basically get over yourself, like repent. And then it goes on to say how we can meet with God.
So James 4:8 says, I'll read 7.
Okay.
This is 8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
We're looking for it. We're looking for it. Okay. Might not be James 4:8, but
that's
it's
okay.
James. We're going to look for this. So anyways.
Yes, but when the Bible also tells us that Jesus is the head of the body.
Yes.
Which is the church.
Yes.
And sometimes we long to have physical relationships with people.
Yeah.
And if he's the head of the body, which is the church, the physical representation of Christ, and we are made in his image, I think we're also designed to like be in that community. We're supposed to be we're supposed to be in the church community loving each other.
Yes, but you need the both. And
you
it
need
is
the both.
James 4:8.
What was I reading?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, carry on then.
Come near to God and he will come near to you. That was funny. So this idea is when we step forward and receive Christ, because it goes on to say, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Like, get rid of the sin. Come to God, get rid of the sin, and allow him to fill every area. And that often is because he draws us into fellowship, because there's so many one another's in the Bible. So it's the both end. You come to God, let him fill your heart, because if the only reason you're going to church is so that you can hang out with people but not meet God, you're still going to have the hole in your heart. So you need to let God fill that hole in your heart with his presence, which is like just unbelievable.
And the knowing that he truly loves me, he truly knows me, he gave his life for me to know him and experience him every day.
I know.
And he says, come to me.
Yes.
Come, draw near to me.
Yeah.
And also in James, it says, like, abide in me. Let my word abide in you. He wants that fellowship and intimacy with us that's real and satisfies our deepest longing.
Yes. And that totally shatters loneliness. So we want you to join us again next week as we pick up this topic. We're not finished, just in case you're thinking, whoa, that was a one-week topic. No, no, no. We're going to dive into this even deeper to explore how deeply God shatters our loneliness. So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much that when we draw near to you, you draw nearest to us. You call us and we abide in you and you abide in us. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, help us today to trust that you really can shatter all the lonely parts inside of us. Thank you, God, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to put a link to a YouTube video of a song called Come to Me. And I just encourage you to put that on, listen to it, talk to the Lord, invite him into your life and share a couple of moments just sitting there, inviting the presence of God.
Amen.
Have a wonderful week.
See you later.
Clink. There we go, Chippy. Bloop.